Eventually, with every little input from the farmer, the plant grows and produces fruit, and then the farmer harvests the grain to fill his barns. In the same way, in the kingdom of God, the seeds of the gospel are sown in faith and by those who believe that these seeds will germinate and sprout and grow to be fruitful individuals. Some plants produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. As a sower, I want to go out and check every little bit to see if it's germinating. How about you?
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast, your gateway to exploring the depths of God's Word and finding inspiration for your faith journey. In today's episode, we are delighted to feature a sermon that delves into the profound truths of the Kingdom of God. Titled Kingdom Seeds, this sermon by Brother Mark Abney takes us on a spiritual journey through Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Through insightful teachings and relatable examples, Brother Mark sheds light on the growth of God's kingdom and the profound impact of the seeds we sow in faith. Join us as we dive into this transformative message, gaining insights that can enrich our lives and guide our walk with Christ. Let's discover how the principles of the kingdom apply to our daily experiences, empowering us to cultivate a life that reflects God's truth. Thank you for tuning in to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast. Get ready to be enriched, challenged, and inspired as we explore the timeless wisdom of kingdom seeds. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be continuing on in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Mark 4, 26 through 34, you want to stand as we read out of the Word of God. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because harvest has come." Verse 30. And he said, "What can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is down, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make a nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Would you pray with me? Father God, take your word and rightly divide it in our heart, that we might be made alive, that we might be drawn to you, that we might make our way straight. And Lord, your word never returns void, but it always does the work for which it's intended. So this morning I pray that we would be open to hear your word, that we would be moldable and shapeable and mendable to what your word tells us, and that we would accept it as your truth and follow you in all our ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the first parable in Mark, we learned how the gospel is sown and the different hearts are out there to receive the word. There were some seed sowing that took place in the day, just like it does today, where there was unproductive hearts because the devil snatched it away before it ever got to the heart. This is the very hard hearts. Then there was some sowing of the word in the shallow, rocky ground where these folks never grew in the Lord. They had a shallow, weak faith. And when hard times come, they fell away. There was the gospel sown down in the weedy places where all the junk in this world competed with the Lord to follow him. Folks received the word, but they never put Jesus first in their life, and the things of this world overtook them. Eventually, they fell out of the church altogether because they were consumed with all the toys they had in their possession. Then there was the word that was sown in the open, fertile ground that received the word and began to grow. These folks put Jesus first and began to study God's word and go to church and walk in his ways. They got plugged in and they rooted deep, and they continued on in their faith, and they become productive members of the kingdom of God. Jesus said of this parable that if you can hear, you better listen and pay attention to the truth. That if you get the word in your heart, be fruitful and multiply. Follow God and his will for your life. Grow in your faith. Get plugged in. Root deep. Be in the world, but not of the world. Put Jesus Christ first in your life, because hard times are coming. Right? Get ready. Get ready to withstand the Sunday night 70-mile-an-hour wind gales. Amen? They came. This morning when I pulled into the lot, I looked up to see if the steeple was still there. I think 70-mile-an-hour wind gales was what it was rated at. So maybe it was just a little below that. It was still there. I haven't checked to see if it was tilted or anything, but it's still up there. Praise God. The next parable Jesus told was the parable of the lamp, which we did last week. Jesus said that all the parables that follow, the sower and the seed, are related to that first parable that he told, and so is this parable of the lamp and the parable that we're going to do today. The parable of the lamp is a parable about when you have the light of Christ in you, you are powerful in that light, and that light overcomes darkness in and all around you. Jesus said, "Let your light shine so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. Let it shine bright for all those around you to see, and let it expel the darkness in our world." Here in this text this morning, Jesus explains more about the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like a farmer who sows seed into the soil and then goes about his business. All throughout the world this morning, the seed is being sown. In large, beautiful, ornate churches of great grandeur, to little house churches in secret as followers are persecuted. The kingdom of God is all about sowing the seed. Matthew 28:19-20 is the great commission that Jesus left us with. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Have you ever planted something, and then every day you go out and look to see if it's good? I like to garden. Most of you all know that about me, if you know me. And sometimes I get so curious to see if the seed is germinating that I'll go dig up a few of them just to see what's going on down there in the underneath the soil. And when you dig them seeds up, I don't think they ever make anything, because you can cover them back up, but nothing will come up in that spot because you disturbed them. Jesus said that the farmer wakes up and he goes to sleep for several days, and then he goes to check on the seeds, and he's amazed because they've sprouted and become little plants. The seeds germinated, they sprouted, they become a plant, and he planted these seeds in faith, believing that the seeds would do their thing, and they did. And Jesus says he don't understand this mystery, how that works. But he has enough faith to put the seed in the ground, believing that the plant will come. He indicated that it's a mystery to the farmer. In the same way that it's a mystery to those in the ministry who sow the seeds of the gospel, we sow seeds here and there and nothing happens. Others come and sow seeds to the same soil and still nothing happens. And then something happens, a life event, a mystery, that someone comes along and sows the seed and that soil receives it. And the seed begins to grow and germinate, and we don't know why. But we do know this. The Holy Spirit has a great work in that person. It's a mystery how it works, but in faith, you and I keep sowing the seed. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth and weeping, sowing for the master. Through the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. In the dark, moist, warm soil, when the conditions are just right, the seed swells and out shoots an apical meristem, a sprout, and it knows which way's up. And eventually it makes its way to daylight and sprouts, and leaves show up, and it begins making energy through photosynthesis and becomes a plant and produces fruit. Eventually, with every little input from the farmer, the plant grows and produces fruit, and then the farmer harvests the grain to fill his barns. In the same way, in the kingdom of God, the seeds of the gospel are sown in faith and by those who believe that these seeds will germinate and sprout and grow to be fruitful individuals. Some plants produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. As a sower, I want to go out and check every little bit to see if it's germinating. How about you? But sometimes our patience wears thin. We don't know why that seed won't take root in that heart of that person. We told them about Jesus. We've begged them to accept Jesus. We've told them that what happens if you don't accept Jesus, but still the seed doesn't germinate. But one morning we might wake up and see the fruit of our labor as the Holy Spirit does his work, and that seed germinates, and God waters the seed and germinates the seed, and it produces a fruitful believer. To the sower of the seed, it was a mystery, but the sower continued to sow the seed, knowing that God is responsible for the increase. One day it will be harvest time for all believers. Either they will pass away, 2 Corinthians 5:8, for we are confident, I say, in knowing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So through death's door, you and I will be physically in heaven with Jesus and God forever. Or we might be harvested in the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and we shall be forever with the Lord. There is a harvest coming. Amen. There's a harvest of the saints coming. And all those born-again followers of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, will be gathered to our heavenly home to be with the Lord forever and ever. Either by death or rapture, we're all going home. Amen. Jesus goes on with another parable to explain about faith. He doesn't use many seeds in this parable, but he uses a single seed. The parable told of how seeds fall on different kinds of hearts. Then Jesus told about light, and then he told about the parable of shining that light wherever we go. And then he told us how we should be sowing seeds. But in this parable today, Jesus teaches us how we sow the gospel. We don't understand the mystery of how the Holy Spirit works in each heart, but we continue to sow because he has commanded us to do so. There is a verse from last week that stuck with me all week, and it just keeps popping up in my head. You ever have a verse like that, that you go this way or you go that way, and all of a sudden something causes that verse to come to mind? And it's done this throughout the week several times in my mind. I was telling Bill on Tuesday night that about this verse and what I was getting from it. But Mark 4:25 says, "For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." For the one who's received the seed of the gospel and stepped out in faith, he took a step to seek Jesus, more will be given from God to that person in life, and they will receive eternal life in heaven to be forever with the Lord and God in heaven. But the one who has not, the one who rejects Jesus, they continue to fight, to be dissatisfied with life, to be discouraged and depressed and disappointed. They struggle and end losing everything, including life. They live forever in death and hell, separated from God forever. Jesus teaches us how each person has a measure of faith. And if that measure of faith is placed in Jesus, he will give you more. In that little seed, that little tiny mustard seed that it's really hard to see that seed. I've seen them in a little jar, and it's smaller than a BB. It's like a pinhead sized seed, very small. But in that little package is enough faith to know that if that seed is placed in the soil and gets moisture, it can germinate and become what God wants it to be. In the scope of that seed and in what God has placed in that seed, which is a miraculous plan to become this huge plant, in the scope of that is also a plan that is placed in you and I. That when we have that little measure of faith where we step out and say yes to Jesus, that he puts that marvelous, perfect plan in our life into motion, and we begin to walk with him, and we begin to follow his ways, and he does more and more and more in our lives because of that small measure of faith. That mustard seed, so small, has a plan to become the largest tree or plant in the garden. It becomes so big that it provides homes for birds of the air. A seed of faith, waiting to be sown so it can germinate and sprout and fulfill God's marvelous plan that God placed inside of it to become that grandeur plant that God had designed it to be. Trees in the Bible are used to describe God's protection and provision and blessing. Ezekiel 17, 22 and 24, thus says the Lord, I myself will take a sprig from a lofty top of a cedar and I will set it out. I will break it off from the topmost of its young twigs and a tender one, and I myself will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of all sorts will nest there. And all the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree, and I make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken it, and I will do it. Here in that verse, we see that God controls all of nature. There is not one thing in nature that God does not have control of. In Psalms 92:12, it says, the righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like the cedars in Lebanon. Well, when I see them cedars in Lebanon, I think immediately of the great redwood forest in California. Them humongous trees that are out there. And have you ever been there and seen them trees? I mean, it just dwarfs you. You look at them trees, and I've seen pictures of lumberjacks who were going to cut them trees, and it's like, no, I wouldn't even touch one of them. I wouldn't even show up my saw. You know, it's like that. Hard telling what would happen when that thing went down. They're huge. And these cedars in Lebanon, I would say, were of that size, were of that grandeur. But when you take that small step of faith and you say yes to Jesus, He makes you like the trees in the cedars of Lebanon. Hosea 14, 5 and 6 says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like a lily. He shall take root like a tree of Lebanon. His shoots will spread out. His beauty shall be made like the olive, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. In Isaiah 60, 13, it says, the glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I will make the place of my feet glorious. When you're at the feet of Jesus, you're in the glorious place. Psalms 3, 1, He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he prospers. You want to be prosperous? You want to be blessed? You want to have the peace that passes all understanding? Then take that little mustard seed of faith and place it in Jesus Christ, and he will give you more. All nature knows God's in control. He makes trees grow in the desert, and he lays to waste everything in some of the most productive soils as he wills. Every living thing on earth does God's perfect will except man. God loved man, people, and he created them with a soul and a free will of choice. Mankind, whom God loves, has a choice to choose to love God or reject God. And if you choose God, that beautiful plan God has for your life will germinate and begin to flourish. If you reject God, everything you have will be taken from you. And within your heart is a plan placed there by God the Creator, where He says, I know the plans that I have for you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. God wants to produce something beautiful out of your life. He wants to use your life to help others. He wants to use you to help others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants you to help them find their mustard seed of faith and place it in Jesus Christ like you did, so that they can have what you got. In conclusion, the mustard seed of faith is just enough faith to believe that God has a plan for your life and to say yes to Jesus. Jesus says, "Those who seek me will find me." If you believe this morning that you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, I pray that you respond quickly. I pray that if you have ears to hear and understand the parables you're listening to and you're paying attention to them, that you respond positively to the gospel message this morning. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. In the text of the parable from last week about the lamp, he says, he who has more will be given to him, and he who has little, what he has will be taken away. And the song says, if you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will go away, and Jesus will put light in your heart. It just takes a little faith to take that first step. If you take that first step towards Jesus, he will give you more. If you read his word, he'll give you more understanding. The more understanding you have of him and his word, the more you'll want to read his word, the more you'll want to do his will, and the more he'll give you to do. God will execute his perfect plan in your life and do great works in and through you if you have a mustard seed of faith. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray this morning that you would help us to exercise our faith. And Lord, faith is like a muscle. The more we exercise it, the stronger it gets. And Lord, this morning there may be someone who has never even tried to exercise the faith to believe in you. But they hear your voice this morning. They hear your spirit talking to them. Lord, I pray this morning that they would respond to your voice. I pray this morning that as they hear your voice and want to respond to you, that they would pray this prayer to make a decision to follow you and say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I have sin in my heart, and I want you to forgive me of my sins and come and live inside of me and be my Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead and you're alive, and you're going to take me to heaven when I die. If you prayed that simple prayer this morning and you believed it and you prayed it from your heart, God's Holy Spirit has come and is dwelling in you now, and you are a child of God, and he will take you to heaven when you die, and he will begin to bless you as you walk in faith with him. As believers, sometimes we become complacent about sharing the gospel because we've done so and seen no results. We get discouraged, and we don't know why people won't respond. But Lord, you say just to keep on keeping on, to keep the main thing, and to do what you called us to do and keep sowing seeds. For we may sow many seeds and only see a few sprout, but in them few we see you at work. And it is a miracle every time one of them seeds germinate. So Lord, I pray that you would give us a renewed vigor, that you would give us a new joy in sowing your seed, that we might sow it with joy everywhere we go and know that we're not responsible for those who don't make decisions to follow you. And know that, too, Lord, that we're not responsible for those who do. Your Holy Spirit is. We're just responsible to share the truth. So, Lord, I pray that you would Help us to do that with joy each and every day. Father, we love you and we need you every day, every moment. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the choice, the free will of choice that you give us. And we thank you for sending Jesus to die for us that we might have salvation. And all these things I pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to be singing 325.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.